The Rush Hour. Toolkit Depot. All the top trade brands under one roof with everything you need to get the job done. Shop in-store or online. Toolkit Depot. The Rush
Hour. All right, producer Luke Elliott, I had this appointment today. I didn't know what it was. I got a call a few months ago and they said, oh, you've got to go do a hospital induction on the whatever date today is, the 30th of April, right. Months away. I was like, oh, it'd be interesting to see what this is. So I had to go to the hospital where I am going to deliver the baby.
Oh, the birthing suite.
Well, I didn't go to the birthing suite. They didn't give me a tour or anything. I thought there might be a tour. The whole thing was just a chat about my birth plan. And they had like this checklist.
I'm shoot it out my bits. I mean,
that's what I said. I was like, my plan is to give birth.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. And like went through this whole list. And it was like, did you need any essential oils? Did you need any diffusers? Any animals present?
What?
Okay.
What?
If the two of you were to push a child out and have the room of your dreams, what would your request be?
No one else there.
Even the doctor.
No, I'd want the doctor, but that's it.
And but not nurse. Your partner.
No.
So you want fully alone.
Yeah, because I don't want to see, like, I don't need my partner to see everything that's going to come out with the child.
Well, they don't, so there is a curtain.
Yeah, but I don't need them seeing me all sweaty and yelly and cry.
My mum's like, don't go down that end.
And having my mum or dad there, oh, God, no. No.
We differ in that way. But what about, like, music? Would you want to do it to music?
No. It's like running. I don't enjoy it. I know I've got to. I just want to get it done.
Lighting?
On. So the doctor can see what I'm shooting out so they can catch it.
Water birth. That was another. Hydro birth. Hypno birth.
Oh, I don't mind the hydro birth. I'd maybe give that a crack.
So you'd give birth in a bucket of water?
No, in a
tub.
No, yeah, the inflatable pool.
And
yeah.
Then sit in your fluids afterwards. Lovely.
No, I'd get out.
No, you have to see so
no,
much
I,
pain.
No, see, I'd bounce back quicker than most.
Okay.
I'm pretty tough. I had a dream I gave birth the other night, actually.
Out of your bum hole?
I don't know. No, I had a...
Your front hole?
I had a girl's hole.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how... It was like... I think I'd watched that movie Junior with...
Yeah.
Arnie and Danny DeVito. But it was weird because my belly was like... How do I describe it? You know those balls that are filled with weird liquid that you can shake and they're quite floppy all over the place? Oh, what's another description? Like, okay, you know when you fill a water balloon and you can shake it? My belly was like a big flappy water balloon and it was too big
to
for
fair,
a normal
that
child.
Is what it's like.
No, it wasn't as rigid though. It was too floppy. And then when I gave birth, it was a girl, but she was already about 7. Yeah, make
dream
it what
chat
you will.
Can be so crap, but that for some reason is next level because it's you.
Good, it's a fully formed human being.
My partner Abby has 3 really annoying habits. One of them is her dream chat because she takes 8 minutes to tell a shit story about 17 different dream scenarios. The second one is when you say, "Oh, you know, what letter does it start with?" She'll go, "About what?" She can't say letters. The way they learn, they do abacadabra. They don't do stupid poms. The third one, and the most annoying, so I have it in the car the other day. My brother's driving for her because she was absolutely leathered.
I love
she
that
she doesn't
got
know lefts and rights. You have to say your way or my way. So when Jack said, am I going left? She's like, yeah. And then he turned and he said, where are you going?
Where are you going?
It's a word.
Okay, Luke, now to you.
Sorry.
What are we thinking? Water birth?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to have a child
sunny
to
present.
Begin with.
No, but you have to, okay? You're up the duff. It's too late to turn around. What's going on in the suite?
I got a follow-up question when you answer to.
What do I want in the suite? Oh, I don't know. Probably just...
Good food.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's after. I've requested that. That's the sashimi
platter. Yeah, but what can you eat afterwards? Because I imagine you'd be in too much pain that you couldn't down solids anyway.
Nah, you've got Maccas.
No, because I'm getting an epidural, man.
Yeah.
Why would you want Maccas? I can have Maccas today. I want sashimi
in
a platter.
You work out a lot and you've done a great job, whatever. Sometimes you want dirty
food.
You
want a little treat.
Yeah, so I get, if we're going down that route, I think about my post-marathon meal. meals.
Yeah, see.
And I've just gone for the biggest, greasiest, double or triple beef patty burger. Yeah,
we're doing that thing where we talk about food.
I know. We're done again.
I hate this. The follow-up question I had is, if I said to you right now, you've got to have a baby, and I give you two options, you've got to either shoot this baby out your pupa, or you can have a girl's hole, and you can shoot it out of that. What do you choose?
But then you have a girl's hole forever.
But then you've got a girl's hole forever. Which is
trust
obviously,
me.
Some, I'm not making fun of that. Some people make the choice to do that and love their life.
But no, but like once a month, not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have that as well.
For the rest of your life.
Apparently, anuses are pretty stretchy.
True.
Yeah, you got to do. I've got friends that are men that like other men, and they use some things to help that. I think they're called poppers.
Yeah, because the muscle in it's like actually the strongest muscle in your whole body.
They're pretty like they're pretty stretchy.
It's
so
like an
I reckon
band.
If I was going to give birth, if I had like biologically was going to be able to give birth,
that'd be amazing.
Back bum.
I back you in.
Yeah,
I back you in on that because dead set periods are not worth it, and then you have to go through menopause.
Yeah,
it's just crap. One of my friends though did tell me the worst thing about it afterwards. It's like the pain's whatever. The first
I don't know
poo,
if the pain is whatever.
Yeah. Well, you get an epidural. The first poo that you do afterwards is the worst moment of your life.
Yeah, I'd be sucking them back in.
They're like, no, but they make you do it.
Well, that's the other thing. Surely you just go on a liquid diet so that it just falls out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, take laxatives.
Yeah.
True. Why haven't they thought of that before?
Don't eat
in the
solids.
2,000 years of childbirth.
Don't eat protein.
What can, when you have a baby, can you booze then because the baby's out, or can you not booze?
No, because you've got to breastfeed and the alcohol still affects the breast milk.
Yeah, but you can time that so it's fine and you can pump. I actually got a pump the other day, which is exciting.
Are you going to bosom feed?
I'll try.
Yep.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
You got enough bosom.
Yeah, thanks.
You
but that doesn't actually, apparently that doesn't mean anything.
Oh.
They don't, like there'll be people with enormous.
Tartars.
Yeah, and they'll have no milk. Yeah.
Right. Well, this has been very educational. Luke, let's look at the show.
Can't wait till you two give birth out your buttholes.
Well, no,
what an exciting
day. I'm going to have a girl hole. I already, my dream said that.
No. The water baby.
Yeah. I'm just not going to have babies at all.
Because no one loves you. Unless your therapist is listening, then everyone loves you.
No. AV's premier campaign continues.
That's terrible.
It wasn't a good one.
You
today.
Didn't back that.
Nah.
You go
so
to bed
bad.
Fairly early too. Oh,
I know, but if I'm going out to a thing, like I'm making a big night of it.
No, it's stuffiers. I dead set think there would be people
anyway,
who love that.
Save it, people here
anyway,
in the sovereign.
That's up next. We heard stories of things that were lost at sea. We spoke to an aviation expert about
The Tonkin.
About Bonza. Yeah. Keith Tonkin on Bonza.
Bonza's gone full Tonkin.
Yeah. AB,
wasn't
your husband to do something, which...
I thought it was bad, but apparently some other relationship survived
the thing that Elliot does is worse. Unwritten rules for shops and Jim Jefferies.
That's the best.
Oh, man.
That was the best.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Can I just say,
thank you again.
I had that really great interview with him when I was a uni student.
Yep.
Decades ago.
This one was better.
This was, no, but like he's just still great. He's still a normal guy that gives you his time.
No, he's not a normal
he's
guy.
Not a normal
he's
guy.
A superstar
he's,
celebrity.
Yeah, he's uber famous.
But he treats you well.
Oh, man. And we asked some just bang average questions and
did
he made them funny.
Like everything I had in my head I threw away as soon as it started.
Yeah, well, he literally did 4 minutes on my opening question, which wasn't even really a question. That turned into Chris Hemsworth gear and his wife having orgasms. Anyway,
obsessed with him.
You're going to hear all of that. It's in the podcast, the full unedited chat. Enjoy. We'll talk to you soon.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot. The Rush Hours, if I was Premier.
It's so funny, Elliot. I always vowed I would never get into politics. And I'm not really. I'm just making unofficial election promises as to if I was to become Premier come October this year when we have a state election.
I think you'd be good in politics, genuinely.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, I get too upset if people hate me. And that's kind of like the whole job.
Right. So you'd be reading online comments about
it. You bet. I cry myself to sleep every single night.
Wow.
Plus,
maybe not.
Maybe some of my policies need work. I mean, just to run over them again. Number one, putting NANGs in the return and earn system so that kids, instead of throwing them into our rivers and lakes and polluting them, potentially hurting animals, you know, they get a few cents back and it incentivizes them to recycle them.
That was a terrible one.
People who have nice gardens get council discounts.
Yep.
I think that's great. Brings the whole state up. E-scooter speed limits for overnight. down to like 2Ks an hour.
I don't mind that one. However, I'd just like to see them banned altogether. What do you got this
week? Okay, my new one. Now, this is very personal view thing, but I reckon a lot of people in their cars right now will be like, yes. We get some great artists to Queensland. Mm. Particular shout out to ones that make their way to the regions. Obviously, we had Pink in Townsville. Elton John's done it. We got Jim Jefferies, the comedian, coming
as
well.
After 5
he is
today.
Joining us this afternoon. Every single time the state government signs on one of these artists, they say, yes, you can come, but you have to do a matinee show as well. Hear me out. I get really tired at like 8:39. I know a lot of people do. I'm pregnant. That is a given. But a lot of my friends, mid to late 30s, early 40s, they're done by 9. These concerts go bloody late. Imagine if Coldplay came and were like, 1 p.m. show. Be done by 5. How bloody good would that be? Plus, it opens up an opportunity for further tourism, a second show. You say you can come, but you got to do a daytime show too.
Okay, I got 2 questions, if I may. What happens if Coldplay want to come to Queensland and they say no to doing a matinee?
It's in the contract. We pay them accordingly.
Yeah, but if they say no, what are you doing? Are you saying no to Coldplay?
You know, Chris Martin, all those guys, they're in their late 50s now. They'd probably be open to it.
You are a politician. You're already dodging questions. What do you do?
No, but I can also, as a politician, convince them.
I don't think a Coldplay show would work. They have all the lights and stuff.
Yeah, but I'd be willing to sacrifice the light. And you know what? I'm going to take it to the next level as well and say State of Origin needs to be at 6 p.m. or Sunday afternoons.
Put yourself in the bin. Dead set.
Nah, concert
should be nighttime. You want Pink to do flips in the daytime? No.
There are health benefits for people getting a full 8 hours sleep. I'm sick of stuff being on late. If I was Premier, I'd sort it out. I reckon there'd be other people out there right now who are like, yes!
Yeah, there
matinee
would.
Shows.
About 6% of our Queensland audience. The other 94 think you're an idiot.
You don't know that. You don't speak for the people. You're a wit. You're a night
I am
owl.
The people.
You're a night owl. You don't get it. Matinee shows, they'd be a huge success.
No.
You could have them in scenic places.
I hate
It'd be
that.
Be wonderful.
Sorry. That is your worst work so far. What did you lose at sea? You were out maybe on a boat, whatever it was, and something was deposited into the ocean forever and ever
and ever. Your breakfast, because you got seasick.
True, that could be it. On Gari, formerly Fraser Island, a story over the last couple of days, and geez, I feel for this family. So they had their camper on the back of their Jeep. Unfortunately, the camper became stuck in the sand as the tide began to rise. They couldn't do anything about it, and the camper and the Jeep were completely underwater. They were gone.
I wonder if they leave them now and turn it into a reef.
So it got towed eventually.
Oh, okay.
It got towed, but I think it's all
That'd
damaged.
That'd be a fascinating
busted.
Scuba dive into a trailer.
It would
having
be.
Having a look around.
But quite often you go further out and stuff's gone forever. 133353, what did you lose at sea? We went out, we had a boat when I was a kid of the Torres Strait. It was a beautiful boat. It was called Duck Feet. It had a big 75 horsepower engine on the back of it. It was an outstanding thing. We went off of Friday Island, which is a good, I reckon, 15, 20-minute boat ride from where we lived on Thursday, and we'd set up to go fishing, doing a bit of snorkeling. We're in a spot where there's not many boats around us. I dropped the keys overboard for said boat. Now, you don't carry spare keys when you go out on the water.
You also
with your
don't
boat.
Swim there.
Well, you can swim. So here's the deal. We tried to. We went snorkeling, tried to get to the bottom of the ocean. We're in about 5-6 metres of water. You couldn't duck dive far enough, and those keys were gone forever. We had to get a tow back in, and we had to wave people down. And they just thought we were waving to say hello, because that's what you do in Tijuana the Torres Strait. You wave, like, yeah, but we're waving frantically.
What's the difference?
Save us. Exactly. You double hands. Help. You do the double dutch. It was bad. I was in strife that day.
I can't imagine. No, Dad, we went to Hawaii as kids and we rented a jet ski. And like Hawaii's got really great sort of not duty-free but cheap designer shopping.
Yep.
And we bought a couple of pairs of like Ray-Ban Wayfarers.
Right.
Which are normally, you know, $150, $180. I think we got them for $60. We were both wearing our snazzy new Wayfarers on the jet ski and we were stopped and Dad goes, I think that's a shark under us. We both turned over, the jet ski flipped and our glasses and all of the stuff on us fell to the bottom of the water. And then because there's a shark there,
no chance.
We're not going to go. We were like, just leave it. Don't worry about it. Brand new.
133353, what did you lose at sea?
Let's go to Bundaberg now. 133353. Sam, what did you lose at sea?
I was fishing with my mum and my pop and I accidentally dropped my iPhone 14 in the water just after my birthday when I got it. The same day, I got it that morning, and then in the night it went under the water and I lost it for good.
Sam, and I hate to bring back the terrible moments, but we all have nightmares of maybe doing this. Yeah. If we're out fishing or even in the bloody toilet, mate. What is that moment like when it slips out of your hand?
Pretty sad. I actually had a phone before my iPhone.
Yep.
And I accidentally dropped it in the toilet. Luckily, it survived.
Oh, Sam.
But yeah, that was
Sam,
pretty sad.
Your hands need some work. I got to ask, because I go through this every time I go to my telco, buy the phone. They go, "Do you want insurance?" I'm like, "Nonsense! I don't need that." Was it insured?
No, it wasn't.
Jeez, mate. Sam, appreciate the call. The ocean would be awful. I almost think the toilet's worse, because when it goes in the toilet,
you know you can get it out, but do you want it?
You don't want to do it, pending the phone.
I did it at a public toilet once. You poo now, Roslyn. What about you? What'd you lose at sea?
My false teeth.
Oh, Roslyn.
What happened?
I was 12 years old and I had bottom false teeth, and I got an undertow at Kemp Beach and it took me under and I came up with no false teeth.
They're so expensive too. Like, did you?
No, they're only about $40 a set back then.
Oh, nowadays, not so much. So how long did you have to go without the chompers?
Well, we went to the dental bloke at 4 o'clock that afternoon so we can get out of the car all day. And I had another set at 11 o'clock next day.
Did you go swimming with them, Roslyn?
Yes, I did go swimming with them.
Oh, geez, that's brave.
I feel more for the person in the future that goes swimming and, you know, steps on them.
Oh, but people always look around for junk in the ocean.
Would a metal
detector
if they got bits of metal in them?
I don't know. I suppose it pens the teeth. On your Roslyn.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Huge and potentially awful news for regional Queensland today. Bonza Airlines, we've all used this airline at some stage since they've taken off and they've helped us get to places that we normally can't. They announced today they have temporarily, they say, suspended flights. Now, joining us is a man that knows a little bit more about this. He's the managing director with Aviation Projects. He's an aviation commentator. Keith Tonkin, the only way I understand this is in football terms, right? So if a club, let's say the South Sydney Rabbitohs, say no decisions being made on the future of the coach, Jason Demetrio, that means Jason is sacked. Bonza, are they dead, mate?
Oh, g'day. It's good to be with you. I don't know. They're saying positive things, but it's once you stop an airline, it's very hard to get them started again. So we'll watch this space, but unlikely to continue operating.
Keith, this is something you've seen probably before in your professional experience. Obviously, famously, we lost Ansett, Tiger Airways a little bit more recently. Is it going about the same way as those two?
Well, the Bonza model was to fly to places that didn't previously have those sort of services, as you mentioned in the start there. So they had a different model and they were well supported, but it seems as though they've run out of money and they are unable to continue their operations in the same way as those other airlines you mentioned.
My concern, obviously being a regional Queenslander, is that these were flights that weren't offered before and it made a huge difference to so many families across the state. You know, is there any potential silver lining where a state government, federal government, albeit, jumps in and potentially funds the difference?
Well, I don't know, and I'm pretty sure that they'll be trying anything they can to shore up their position financially. I think there's been some reporting of seizing of aircraft, and that might be a bit harder to solve. So I think there'll be plenty of hard work going on behind the scenes to try and make this happen, but it might not work, unfortunately.
What do people that have booked tickets with Bonza do now? I mean, there's mixed reviews saying you can go online, potentially get a credit. They're obviously not announcing that they've ceased everything yet, so there's no way to chase that. But there are reports of other airlines coming in to help out.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard that Virgin's offering and Jetstar is offering to take people where they can on the services that are operating at the moment. And while the announcement has been made that operations have been suspended today, it doesn't give a lot of certainty in the short term. So people might just have to wait and find out what happens in the next few days and weeks.
Our expert in aviation, Keith Tonkin, really appreciate you shedding a bit of light, mate. Thanks for your time on the Rush Hour.
You bet.
On you, mate. And it does feel like we're hoping for a Stephen Bradbury now, really. We are praying for a miracle when it comes to Bonza.
Like, it's really unfortunate for all the people, obviously, that have lost flights. I hope that those do get redeemed. But, I just don't want another airline to collapse and Qantas and Virgin and Jetstar to have more opportunity to stuff people around again.
Yep, it's an unfortunate one. Keep it locked on the Bonza social media. We're told they'll be updating that regularly. And as I said, we're hoping for a miracle, but things are not looking good.
I've really had a fall from grace in the last couple of days. I just don't know if there's any coming back from this at all in my relationship. Oh, gosh. Because, like, you know, people say don't fart in front of your significant other. It's not romantic. Don't do whatever else. I think those things can be moved past. I don't know if what I had to ask my husband Alex to do yesterday, we can ever move past.
Right.
Like, I think that the next few months are going to be pretty grim.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. Like, this could be the end of romance for good. So obviously I'm pregnant. I'm 25 weeks pregnant. I've got a proper bump now. And things that you could do before are harder than they were before. No secret. Many women have been through this. Many husbands out there have heard these stories. You know, putting on underwear, for instance. My God, that is a challenge every single day. Over the weekend, I was in Brisbane. I was doing a bit of work with footy.
Yeah.
And also I was going to go to an event. And I thought, I've got to shave my legs. It's been a few months.
Yeah. A few months?
Well, a few weeks. I don't really grow leg hair that fast. Oh. It's genuinely really slow. So I thought, okay, stuff it. I'll give it a crack in the shower.
Yeah.
I nearly fainted. Like, the pressure to bend down over your bump and shave is really bad. Looked it up. They're like, please don't do this.
Yeah.
It cuts off circulation. Just avoid it at all costs. So I did a dodgy job, moved on. I got back home and I asked Alex yesterday, could I schedule in a leg shave with you?
Oh, him to do it. Are you reckon that's bad?
Yeah.
Out of all the... I can make you feel better if you want.
Do you shave Abby's legs?
No, Abby shaves my ass.
I mean, I shave Alex's hair and sometimes shoulders area as well.
No, she does my whole...
Inside.
Well, not inside my
nose. Okay, talk me through logistics, though, because, like, should I get a stool?
Because,
I was
going to
suggest we go further, too, particularly coming towards the birthday, you know, I want everything to be...
Yeah. Well, I don't know
going to be a whole other conversation.
I just stand in the shower, face the wall, try not to cough, bend over, and she just gets the razor. And
do you trust her that much with it?
It's the electric one, so it's just, you know, it's think of it like the Amazon forest. At some stage, you've got to cut down some trees. So, yeah, not at all have you ruined your relationship. That's just the beginning.
We have to come back from this. We have to come back from
me. No, you'll go forward.
Sitting in the shower crying probably because that's where I'm at and just being puffy all the time and while he shaves my legs.
And just imagine it could be worse. It could be Elliot's partner. She's seen some things she didn't want to.
I'm going to get some tips from her.
If there was a W on either cheek, she'd be saying, wow.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Queensland, I'd like your help writing some unwritten rules for shops. I had a bit of an experience on the weekend, which I just, this irritates me no end. And maybe, by all means, if you are a retailer, I want you to call up on 133353 and give us your side of this, where it should sit officially. Mm. So, on Saturday afternoon, I wanted to go and purchase a present for my friend's new baby, as I was going to see her that night. And it was 4:45 p.m. I spotted a little kids shop on the Gold Coast. I thought I'll quickly duck in there, buy something immediately. I had an idea in my head of what I wanted to get. I knew that I wanted to get some kind of like soft toy for the cot and it would be really quick. I am a very much in and out kind of person. Walked into the shop. The shop assistant had started shutting the door on me. And she was like, so sorry, we close at 5. I was like, it's 4:45. She's like, yeah, we just wind things down. We're not going to take any more sales. I've already shut the till off. And she closed. And I didn't give her my business. And I've seen this a lot of times. I can appreciate if you're running an operation like, I don't know, hairdresser, nail salon, something that takes time. Of course, someone coming in at 4:45 when you shut at 5, fair. You can't take that appointment. It's not going to be done in 15 minutes. But if it's a retail store and it's small, surely, like, that's that. I can just buy the item.
Well, I don't know how long it takes to shut off the till and all that. I don't understand all that.
Well, maybe they're only paid till 5 or...
Maybe that's a process. You know what I mean? Maybe it's 15 minutes to shut the computers down. I don't know.
But can't you do that at 5 when you close?
These are the questions for the great retail workers of this state.
True. And I think I'm a reasonable person.
I don't.
If...
Well, just as a whole, you're not a reasonable person, no.
I'm reasonable when it comes to things not to do with you. With other people.
Okay.
Because I'm a pleaser.
Yeah.
Queenslanders, 13353.
Yeah.
What are the unwritten rules for shops, particularly when it comes to opening hours?
Yeah.
Like, where do we sit? Is 5 o'clock 5 o'clock, or are there certain shops that go, no, we need more time to close than that. You cannot come in after a certain time. I need your help.
Okay.
So that I don't make the same mistake again.
Well, you could just go, I mean, 4:45 is very late to go to a shop like that. You could go at a normal time, like 2 or 1 or 11.
I'd only
or
just
whatever.
Gotten in, and so I was right. Like, I'll see. Okay. Worst case, I'll go on the, yeah.
Go to the servo, get some flowers.
Yeah, I went to Australia Post and got stuff, which was the worst.
13353. So you want unwritten rules for shops in opening hours?
Yeah, like, where is the line drawn?
Okay.
Bundy first. Christina, what are your thoughts?
I worked in retail and we actually did close earlier than our advertised time to do the tills and everything because we weren't paid to stay longer than the closing time.
Interesting. Do you think, Christina, if that's the case, either the employers should pay you for an extra 15, half an hour, whatever, after, or let you close early and specify that on their sign?
Yes, so eventually head office did extend our shifts to be paid for an extra half an hour. Mm-hmm. And we were not allowed to even show that we were closing the doors until exactly the time that it was going to be closing time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it can
but
be.
But for a while, we were closing earlier.
Can be stingy owners.
I mean, but this, I mean, you went to a boutique place. This could be a one-off shop with one staff.
Yeah, it could have been
member.
Their owner because she seemed like maybe she was the owner.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, Townsville now. Pedro, where do you sit with this?
What a name.
Well, yeah, good name.
That is a good name.
I reckon, like, see, because I've worked at bottle shops and stuff and people are walking, like, 5 to closing time.
Mm.
And that gets a bit frustrating because you said it earlier, mate. That's whereas... you know, you had 12 hours prior to coming and buy your grog, but you've got to walk in at 5 too.
Mm.
You know, and like you said, like you also have to do your tills and shut the doors and tidy up before you go home. And like I work for a big nationally known bottle shop company and they didn't pay you overtime.
Interesting, Pedro. No, it is true because, yeah, I almost think the signs should be more specific. They say, okay, we close at 5. You can come in at 4:45 only if you are the kind of person that needs 5 minutes max for your purchase.
Or you could have
been. Because I'm that person. I'm in and out within.
Could have been more organised during the week.
Like I mean, said.
You knew you were going to this event. I mean, you flew in that day, yeah, but yeah, how long do you know you're
at
going to the event?
At the end of the day, Australia Post got my business instead of this small boutique business.
On you, Pedro. Have a wonderful rest of your day, mate.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
And as a man that knows nothing, I'm calling this one today Australia's greatest ever comic. Yes, greatest ever comic. A man that my partner describes as sexy in a weird way. He's back. Give them what they want to. He's heading to Brisbane, heading to Townsville, across Australia as well, teaming up with Triple M and Channel 7, brought to us with Frontier Touring and more talent, Mr. Jim Jefferies. Hello, mate.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Sexy in a weird way, I'll take it.
Do you get that often?
Well, I don't Google myself, but sometimes people send me things on the internet, and there's like a Reddit forum that is basically called... Is it odd that I find Jim Jefferies attractive?
Right? Joining now.
There seems to be a big debate. People are 50-50 split. No one ever is definitively like, yes, he's attractive. People find like, I find him attractive as well. I find it very strange.
What does your wife say? Help? Is she part of that or?
My wife is in that category. Yep. Like my wife will openly say, yeah, you're not my type. You're not my type. I don't know how. I'll tell you a funny story. So the movie Extraction was on TV. I think it was Father's Day. It came out on Netflix or whatever. And that was the movie I was watching for Father's Day in America was Extraction. You know, the Chris Hemsworth one where he has that. You know how all Australian actors for some reason seem to speak like this and have a voice that speaks down like this and they're all very serious, even though they've studied tap dancing and went to NIDA. Anyway, so... So my wife's watching the show. Her friend's over. The kids are there. We're watching the movie. She's sitting there with a friend. I go up to the bathroom. I come back. My wife is looking at Chris Hemsworth, and she turns to her friend and says, "The Australian accent has never done it for me before, but on him."
Brutal.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like standing there going, "Are you kidding me?" And I go, so you wish I'd speak like this?
That's uncanny.
Yeah, like this. I say, that would be how you want me to speak all the time. Like, we're always going to talk like this, right? So later on that night, we get in bed. Me and the wife are getting down to it. We're getting a bit amorous, you know, as you do. It was the second week of the month, right? And my wife turns to me and says, "Do the Chris Hemsworth voice."
I'm just going to put this picture on your face, if that's all right.
Yeah, do the Chris Hemsworth voice. So I had sex with my wife going, "Okay, well, let's get this started." it was the quickest she'd ever finished. And afterwards, she says to me, she goes, "If you can talk like that, why don't you talk like that all the time?"
That's outstanding.
Friend. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to regain myself here. Now, Jim, you've obviously announced this huge tour. You are coming to regional Queensland as well. Shout out. Thank you for including us. We love to see it. I read somewhere that when you go to Sydney, when you touch back down in Australia, the first thing you do is get a loaf of white bread and a kilo of prawns and go to town on it. We're pretty good with seafood in the regions. Is there anything further you want to put out there for, I don't know, restaurants, bars that want to suck up to you?
American prawns are no good, or a shrimp as they call them, and Americans can't make bread. And I like the most generic white bread ever and just a squeeze pack of mayonnaise, and that's me in heaven. But the problem is I did that. I've been here for 3 days, and I've had it in my dressing room. I've been doing some shows for Channel 7, and I've had prawns and bread in me. I'm backed up. It's just too much protein. And what I am going out is got a slight pink hue to it. So, you know what I mean? I think I've eaten too much prawns. So I have to – what I really need now is some fibre gummies.
Okay, all right. Shout out to Queensland businesses that provide fibre gummies. You know where to drop them.
I like to have a passiona. I get a gay time into me. I don't even eat the gay times on the stick anymore. I go straight for a bag of those ones.
The bites.
The technology that this country's come up with.
I know.
Like
30 years.
Yeah, I've been away for 20 years and I've seen the future. But it's daytimes in a bag that you can throw straight into your mouth. How long were we eating them off sticks like effing idiots?
Jim, I mean, away from the comedy and all of that, you're known as a passionate rugby league man as well, one of the best North Sydney Bears fans in the world. Is that the next project after the Give 'Em What They Want tour, is to ramp that up to get the Bears back into that competition?
I try to get the Bears. I'm wearing a North Sydney Bears hat right now, and I rock around LA wearing Bears merchandise and all that type of stuff. I just want the Bears back in the competition. My whole childhood was watching the North Sydney Bears. And now, you know, look, I'm on a text chain with Billy Moore and Greg Florimo and all these people who were childhood heroes of mine. So I'm having a wonderful time whether they get back in the competition or not. But they're always like this. They're always like, "We should do a documentary like that Welcome to Wrexham documentary." You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, do a documentary about the Bears getting back in. I go, yeah, but Netflix aren't going to make a documentary until the Bears are actually coming back in. I can't go down there and pitch a documentary. This might happen. You want it?
I mean, if you get enough talk of the town. I have to put a small request in, though, Jim. Like, I've got a soft spot for the Bears. None of this Perth crap, though. Is there a place in regional Queensland you'd be open to the Bears moving to instead, so we can find a happy medium?
Look, I grew up in Sydney, but I follow the Maroons in the state of origin, and the only reason for that is because my father's from Roma, Queensland, you know, so I have some very rural Queensland roots, and my dad went to school with Arthur Beetson. He was one of Arthur Beetson's mates at school, you know, in Roma. And Willie Carn's father was also in the same clique. It was Willie Carn's father, Arthur Beetson, and my dad hanging out, you know what I mean? So
Roma Bears.
Yeah, so I'd go for the Roma Bears all day. But the reason I find Queensland is because they always had more North Sydney players. Gary Larson and Ben Eichen and Peter Jackson. And they were always packed with North Sydney Bears. And the New South Wales team just had David Fairley, and that was it. They never gave, you know, Greg Florimo a run. So, geez, I sound like I'm 100 years old right now.
No, I get it. There's a bit of something Queensland to the Bears. I feel it.
Yeah, there's something Queensland about the Bears. So I always follow the Maroons. But, yeah, I could go Coffs Harbour Bears as well. You know, just put it right in Russell Crowe's backyard just to annoy him about the house.
Jim, along with your comedy, your love for the Bears, the 1% Club on Channel 7 has been highly successful. I'm not going to lie, it's the only game show that I watch and actually enjoy. I don't know how you manage to remember all the names in the audience, but the burning question is, how in the hell does Jim Jeffries, the crudest, most beautifully eloquent man on the planet, keep that show PG?
I'll tell you, I've got to give it up for Channel 7 and their lack of research.
Like, they didn't do a background check.
Like they literally just went, oh, he sells a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
I'll give him a game show. But they did very to little no Googling. I don't keep it PC. There's a version of the 1% Club that could be shown at 9:30, but, you know, we record the episodes over a few hours because there's 100 contestants and there's a lot of piss breaks and all that type of stuff that goes on and people getting hungry and all that type of stuff. And so I just act like I normally do and they edit it down, I assume. I'll be honest, I've never watched an episode after I've recorded it because it doesn't air in America. So I don't even know what comes on, but I'm happy to be doing the show. The first 10 episodes, I wasn't sure about it. I was like, oh, I don't know about this, whether this will be good for me or whatever, or whether I'm any good at game show hosting. And then the next 10, I enjoyed myself because all I got told was you yell too much, try to yell less. And then once I took that note, I was off to the races.
Well, I mean, it's reaching a total national audience of almost 2 million people, so I assume you're doing something right, Jim.
Oh, if I walk around Coles now, I get like 80-year-old women come up and go, geez, you're lovely. We like watching you on the telly.
It's a different demo.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know if that's all the people watching the show, but I assume next year we'll have half the viewers.
Just head to the retirement communities and recruit more. Now, I'd love some professional advice, Jim, because I'm due to become a first-time mum in a couple of months. And okay. You've talked about this before because you've got two kids now. Your eldest is 11 or 12. How do you not become lame when you're a parent? Like, how did you remain provocative and funny and cheeky and dirty and whatever else
and
despite having kids?
Way.
Yeah, and sexy in a weird way with Reddit forums despite having kids.
Well, what I did was I didn't acknowledge the children for many years and moved away. I said I was going out to buy some cigarettes and I never came back. That keeps me young. Now, I've always liked being a dad, but all that type of stuff. But what I did find is when you become a parent, it's like you're stuck in whatever age that is then, that's where you're stuck, right? I haven't listened to a new band in 11 years. Right, I just haven't. I don't think I've changed my style of dress in 11 years. This is where I'll be stuck. Because the thing is with music, right? You enjoy music from when you're happy and good things in your life, or when you met new love or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Music is there to emote and to make memories. You don't want to remember this time when your kids are young. All you're listening to is the Wiggles for about a bloody decade. It's very fulfilling. So this is your first child?
Yeah.
You've never had it? When's it coming out?
August.
Oh, well, that's a while away. You've still got a bit of freedom now. Drink everything I can and smoke everything I can before it comes out because after it comes out, you won't have the time.
All the money.
Jim Jeffries, the Give Them What They Want Tour, dates across the country in Queensland, Brisbane, the 17th of August, then in Townsville on the 18th of August. Your tickets going on sale this Friday, frontiertouring.com. You are the best in the business, Jim. We are so thankful for your time on the Rush Hour this afternoon.
I had a lovely time, and good luck with that baby, man.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Triple M's Rush Hour! Toolkit Depot, everything you need to get the job done.